Hello, everybody. It is your old pal, Rob. I hope you're all doing well. Once again, I'm taping the intro and outro of this on the road. So again, I apologize for the sound quality to start. But we have a very interesting interview today with a very, very dear friend, the creator of Dungeon Crusade, none other than Roger Dering. And Roger and I go way, way, way back, and has been a very dear friend, and has put his life and his soul into this. And as you hear this interview, you'll see all the trials and tribulations that went into making such a game like Dungeon Crusade. So without further ado, my very dear and personal friend, Roger Dering, our interview with him starts right after this. Hello, everybody. It's your old pal, Rob, here once again. I am back, and boy, I got one that I promised you I would get. You're going to be able to hear this on our podcast, Rob's Tabletop World podcast, as well as see this when, well, we're recording it Monday night, but you'll be able to see it this Wednesday. We have none other than probably one of the best designers in the world, someone full of passion, and has made a game that is a cult phenomenon, and that is Dungeon Crusade. And we have none other than the great Roger Dering. Roger, how are you?
That was some buildup. I'm blushing. Hey, man, that was a little too much. But Rob,
you're lucky I didn't have the tiger do it.
Rob, first of all, let me say it's a pleasure. Seriously, it's a pleasure to be with you. I think if you remember, I can't believe this, 7 years ago, I think our initial chat wasn't as smooth as this, on my end at least. So I think this is a little bit better, but really I'm very grateful to you for your time and to chat about the game. And of course, all your viewers, hello. Thank you so much for your time, your interest, maybe your excitement for the game. I've been looking forward to this. And so it's just nice to be here. And Rob, I hope you're feeling good. You know, I know you've had something going on. I hope you're on the upswing, and I just hope you're doing great. And thank you for everything you do for our community, not just me, but for everyone. You are definitely a legend in the board game community. You are.
I'm going to go there. But, you know, as far as my health, it's not good, and things aren't getting any better. But, you know, like I said, I'm going to keep swinging until I can't swing no more. You know, one of the reasons why, you know, Roger and I, folks, had a whole idea planned, but things really kind of took a turn for the worst. I've been through a lung biopsy, which is not a pleasant thing and actually quite painful. And I am making a decision this coming week on how to handle certain things. And we'll see how it works out. You know, it's not in my hands. We'll just, you know, I just got to find a way to just keep fighting. And that's what I'll do. But, you know, this game, you, Roger, are very dear to me. You know, 7 years ago when David, Lockwood introduced us. Said, you know something, I think you can really help each other. It was something I took very seriously. You were very passionate about it.
Still am.
Yeah, no, you know, 7 years later. And, you know, that's, I think when we really think about it, you know, one of the things I want to ask you, because one of your biggest fans and biggest supporters, I mean, I know you credit me so much, but really the foundation of this whole project was your mom.
Yeah.
I'm
shutting this off. Sorry, my phone.
No, sorry. Listen, this is the most unprofessional podcast that anybody does.
I thought it was muted.
Don't worry about it. But, you know, like I was trying to say, is your mom was your biggest supporter. She was such an influence on this and gave you such strength. You know, to see this through, I mean, how does it feel and hold up in her memory? And one of the things that we wanted to do, and I'll let you answer because I could be chatty too, is we wanted to do this, really do a really, and we will do it next Monday. I'm doing everything in my physical power to do this because it's the one thing I have to do before anything goes bad on me. I promised that I was going to do this for you. But I want to do it, number one, for you. And of course, we want to do this wonderful playthrough where we really go through in depth for your mom.
Thank you, Rob. That's very nice of you to say, honestly. And I don't think I've ever talked publicly about this. Mm-hmm. And I feel very comfortable talking to you about it and anyone. My life's an open book. I told people, I didn't tell them when this happened because I didn't want to worry people. I didn't want them to think, oh, this is never going to happen. So I'm going to try to be quick in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. If this was 2 years ago and this happened, I'd probably be bawling my eyes out, to be completely honest and be a real human and say it was devastating. But it was during the making of Dungeon Crusade. You know, my mom was a huge supporter. I mean, when I was little, she, you know, bought me these games for Christmas that inspired me. You know, she was there. She helped in so many ways. You know, when we were working on stuff way before you even knew me early on, don't go out. I'll bring you lunch. I'll bring you dinner. Keep working on what you're working on. I never think, you know, she saw Dungeon Crusade, but she was never into all the stuff. But she knew my passion for this, and I was just diehard to the end. I told you many times I had two options. Complete Dungeon Crusade and kick total ass, excuse my French, or die in the process. Or die in the process. I truly mean that. Taking on a task like this for you, everyone around the world looking forward to this, I was never, ever going to quit. But what happened was in the making of Dungeon Crusade, you know, I was working my regular job. I've worked with children and adults stricken with different degrees of developmental disabilities. I have a wife, two kids, you know, responsibilities of a house, everything. And then Dungeon Crusade. And, you know, I still go on 2 to 4 hours sleep. I know that's terrible. And then, you know, shooting videos, getting back to people. And then my mom said, I got to talk to you guys. And I'm like, yeah. This was out of the clear blue. And she said, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she found two lumps. And it was very aggressive, Rob. It happened. Mm-hmm. It was like within 3 months, you know, she had passed away.
Yeah, and I remember.
I never told the backers this. I told Freddie Lopez, one of the mm-hmm. artists who did the, you know, I gave him my of that thing. Freddie did all the Monsters Heroes. He's like a brother to me. And I shared that with him. And I was shielding people from that because, mm-hmm. you know, everyone was anticipating the game. I was working my butt off on it. I was working with artists. I didn't think it was right. I've seen other people do it in Kickstarter updates. And this is from the heart, being very candid. I didn't think it was right for me to share that and burden people with it. I kept it, you know, to me. And it was really, I know this is going to sound maybe cliche, but when she was going through all this, you know, I was trying to help her, take her to appointments. The Avalon Adventure board game, The Land of Avalon, was my real escape. I know that might sound cliche or corny, Rob. I mean, when you read those adventure cards and go through Avalon, that really was kind of my go-to to escape this massive hurt. If you've lost a parent, you know the hurt. And it was just, that was really, to me, I thought it was like the best work I did. I was so passionate about creating all these NPCs, factions, and all of that. And it was really hard. It's like, even, I'll tell you now, it's like when I was doing videos at that time, I was putting on a happy face. You know, of course I was very happy, but mm-hmm. then I'd be like crying that night thinking my mom's in the hospital. And you know, honestly, there's one nurse who's my good friend through this. And they were telling me, I shared this with them. And I said, don't tell anyone about this. They knew about Dungeon Crusade and mm-hmm. Kickstarter and all that. And they saw like how wore out I was. I'm not trying to throw a sympathy card. And they're like, you need.
No, because
I refused.
Yeah. But I want to add something to this. And the reason I brought this up is not to bring back painful things. What I wanted to do, and what nobody else has done, number one, I knew about it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was always checking on you. And then when this all happened, you know, I tried to stay and give you the space that you needed. But the thing was, is that during this whole thing, okay, this whole Kickstarter thing from the beginning, then you took a lot of criticism. You took a lot of, you know, people taking shots at you, you know, because that's what people do, unfortunately, if they don't get their way. And they did not have an idea. And up till this day, they didn't have an idea what was going on in the background and how you fought through this. Okay. So, you know, when I say that, when I say that you've been an inspiration to me with all the stuff that I've gone through and how you have had to go through this, defend your game, keep working and creating this game and get to this point and not say a word until I brought it up. Okay, because I want people to know how passionate you were about this game to get to this point, how much it meant to you, how much it meant to your mom. Okay.
Yeah.
And how much I knew and how much I would, I'd lay in a road for you. I mean, you know that.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. And, you know, what's fair is fair. You gave everything for this thing and you sacrificed a lot. Roger.
But it was for the game and for people. It was my extended family, the bankers. And, you know, I don't want to, and I really hope I don't get emotional with this. And it's one of the things I remember. She would always, you know, before this, she'd always come over and she'd look at the prototype game and all that. She looked at it, Rob, but I don't know if she understood the whole thing. You know, mm-hmm. She was passionate about it. She'd watch the videos I was creating. And in the hospital, when it was really towards the end, they had to intubate her.
Right.
And you know, that's that, was it the mask that they have to put on for breathing.
Right.
When they intubate. And it was like the last time I talked to her. And she said, promise me no matter what happens, you're never going to stop doing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I said, you're going to be fine. I said, I'll never quit. Now I didn't say it to her. I said, you know, my two options, I'm either going to kick ass, complete this and just complete kick ass of this or I'll die in the process. I said, I'll never quit. I said, you're going to be fine. And then they intubated her and that's when it really went down. And that's where I, again, don't mean to sound corny. I really escaped into this land of Avalon and just created for people very passionately, all of this stuff. It's like, you know, when you go through it, it's just, and even I won't say, but there's an Easter egg. My mom's name was Anne Marie. So you may meet an acolyte in one of the villages who heals your heroes and gives them their essence back. But what you said, though, about, I kept to myself, people who knew what was going on and just some of the crazy circumstances that happened to me during the game and just how Albus, the fetch hound, came about. There was a whole story with that that I shared with someone else, but I could briefly tell you. But someone said, do you know if people knew the whole story of you in this game, that Netflix could do like a mini series of this guy creating this dungeon game and all of like how Albus came about. And actually, can I share that with you really quick? I think
that absolutely. I mean, this is your time.
Okay. Real quick. I won't take up a lot of your time with this, but this is just, I swear, this is exactly how it happened. This is years, like when I was making the game, the heroes, you know, they're in the dungeon. And the big rule was the heroes cannot leave the dungeon until their quests are complete. You know, they're not there to go back to the village and play in the House of Chance, but you know, the house, they're there to do a job. They have to complete their quest on a quest table. So I had this, I knew it wasn't going to stick, but I had a thing where they had soul stones. I actually had a little token that they could flip over and it could teleport them to the village to buy potions, torches, upgrade their gear, and then come back to the dungeon. And I just let it sit there for a while. I'm like, there has to be something better for this, you know, like something more. And the answer literally, Rob, was right under my nose. So here's what I was doing. When I was making the prototype of the game, I was selling stuff on eBay. I was doing I'd build and repair computers. I was just generating money because building a prototype game in print, it was very expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So, and I couldn't tap into, you know, our family finances. So the neighbor across the street was moving to Florida, and he had these electric wheelchairs. He had a few of them. Mm-hmm. And he said, Roger, you know, you can have these, and I have no use for them. Just go ahead and take them. So I said, well, I'm an eBayer. I'm going to probably eBay a few. So trying to shorten this up, I put them on eBay, and there was this jazzy chair. Remember those jazzy chairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife's an occupational therapist, so all this stuff that you're talking about, I know.
Like they're familiar. Like back from the 90s or the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So he gave me a jazzy chair, so I listed it. And I'm friends with this guy to this day. A guy named Brett got a hold of me. And still, mm-hmm. Albus the Fetch Hound, nothing was in the game yet like this. And I swear, as God is my witness, this is exactly what happened. So Brett said, hey, and he lived close to me, like about like 25, 30 miles away. He said, I really want one of those jazzy chairs. And he sounded like a young guy. And I thought, well, maybe it's for his grandfather or something like that. I said, well, yeah, come on out. And he's like, are you firm on the price? No, I said, trust me, if you want it, we'll work out a deal. So he comes over and an extended van pulls up. And you could ask my wife or anyone this. So an extended van pulls up and a ramp comes down the side. And what comes out of the ramp but a golden retriever? This dog comes out. And so Brett comes out and he's in a wheelchair. And he was like around my age, you know, he's like in his 30s, late 30s. Early 40s. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you. And he explained that he was in Desert Storm and he got some kind of rare disease that hit him and it confounded him to a wheelchair. One of the nicest guys ever. And so we're talking and I worked out a great deal for him. So anyway, I said, I love all my dogs. You know, I have these crazy fetch hounds of mine in here. I got three of them. They're barking their heads off because they know mm-hmm. that his dog is out there, you know, this golden retriever. It's his service dog. Rob, this is exactly how Albus was born into the game. So Brett was wearing a red baseball hat. And I'm like, this dog is so cool. And he said, yeah, it's my service dog. His name is Albus. I'm like, hey, Albus. And he's like, watch this. And he took off his red hat and he threw it out into my driveway. Albus went and fetched it and retrieved it and brought it back to him. You already know where it's going, right? Boom. Yeah, you know, yeah. Mind works. It's like the gears are like, oh my God, there's a fetch hound there's fetch hounds in the land of Avalon. Albus is going to be the hero's fetch hound. Hell, you know, fetch hounds are used to, you know, bring stuff to miners and run, you know, deliveries and all this kind of stuff. And then I'm like, Brett. And I started talking about Dungeon Crusade. He knew nothing about it. Okay, I'm making this dungeon crawl game called Dungeon Crusade. And the heroes are in the dungeon and they got to have the soul stone. And I'm not going to use the soul stone because Albus was the key. And he's looking like, are you manacle? Like, what's wrong with you? It's like, no. Right there, it came to me. I wrote the lore for Fetch Hounds. And in honor of Brett, because that idea was spawned because of that, Albus was in the game. But I pictured like the husky that you see with the red war paint and the pack, you know, his backpack. But I named him Albus in honor of Brett because it was him. It was Albus. And that's what I mean. The Fetch Hounds were right under my nose with all my dogs. But it took Brett to throw that baseball hat out. Albus fetched it, and Albus was born into Dungeon Crusade. That's exactly how. That's what I mean. Like when my friend said, who knew that story? Now you know, it's like Netflix would have a field day with everything he went through to create this game, like a story of Albus and so many other things. But anyway, I hope that wasn't too long-winded. But
not at all. I mean that's why we do this, you know, to get the different stories. You know, we don't ask the same questions. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I do want to ask you, you know, you've been working on this a very, very, very long time. Okay. Are you starting to feel not so much burnout, but that you just need some time?
To be completely honest with you.
Yes.
Here's how you know me, I just speak from the heart. Here's how I feel. I am incredibly inspired and feeling incredibly creative. I have been about these two new games. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back a little bit and say something. And you were involved with this and everyone. Dungeon Crusade, and not being glowy about it, Dungeon Crusade was a really different game. I mean, with Albus the Fetch Hound, the patrol route system, 3x2-foot dungeons. It was to me, and again, I'm not being glowy, but the world's first open world dungeon crawl board game. It was something new. When it shipped out, there were some issues with the game. Hey, the rule book was number one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like other things, like the heroes can go up to level 3. And some of the challenges in the game, the events, the trap treasure chest, the trap system, some of those D20 rolls were very hard for level 1 and level 2 heroes. I listened to people because, one, I love you. I love the fans of the game. I am there for them. I want them to have the best experience possible. I will not rest. I would not rest until I addressed it, listened to people, gave them a revised rule book and all that. So my thing is this, even if I was burnt out, it was me, my passion for this game, because I thought it was something new, something completely out in left field, and I was never going to abandon the game or the fans. I talked to people, we worked on everything, and you know the game has been perfected and honed from everything we worked on.
Oh, absolutely. It has evolved over time. I think what I'm trying to say is, here you are at the end. You've got this thing about as perfect as it can be, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff that you have next to you. But yeah. But I mean, at this moment, you know, is there a sense of completion, and are you going to give yourself a bit of a rest? Is what I'm trying to really say.
Yeah, and you know,
a well-deserved rest.
You know what the thing is? I'm sure that other creators or designers or musicians or artists can relate. When you're very, like, and you know what? It was someone years ago who diagnosed me with this thing. What did he call it? It's a sense of mania. That, like, he saw my, I think it was a psychologist. He said, he saw how I post, my passion for stuff. You go on a few hours. A lot of people who are like that, are very, you know, they'll go on a few hours sleep and they're always firing in all cylinders, even though they're dead tired, they just keep going.
That's
but
me.
Here's the thing: Dungeon Crusade, Book One, Genesis of Evil. Rob, as I've said, I sit here and look at you and talk to everyone. I am so happy where this game is at now. I mean, it's been everything was the revised rule book, as you showed off to everyone. That was the big thing that I think some people were fine with the original rule book, but now. You know, I learned from it. I'm not, you know, I'm human. I have to learn, you know, as a first time creator, I've leveled up to level 60 now for what I've learned. But what I wanted to say before, though, was about take Dungeon Crusade, like building a unique race car. Okay. We ship the game out, right? You take the race car out on the track, see how it performs. Okay, we got to make this adjustment, this minor tweak, bring it back into the garage, tweak everything, and you bring it to perfection. That's exactly, I guess that's a good metaphor to use for Dungeon Crusade. I'm really content. I'm happy for, like you, the Solo Crusader upgrade pack that has the map of Avalon that I want, a huge map of Avalon, the revised rule book, the mercenary camp. I wanted to make sure, first and foremost, you and everyone who backed the game were taken care of. You know, there's some replacement cards in here. There's some new content. So this right here, and if anyone who has the original, you know, game, this is what you want. And it's very low priced. This right here, I'm happy about because it shows I didn't abandon you or anyone who has that first edition. I want to make sure you're taken care of. But I do. Here's the thing. I want to break from this. I mean, I'll tell you honestly, I want to break from Book One, Genesis of Evil. The inception of this started in 2008, and all that. And I don't mean that bad, I want to break from it, but I've been on this game, the revised rule book. It's time, like, so I am tired in a way, but now I'm invigorated or energized because of these new chapter games that are smaller games that take place at one location in Avalon, rather than the whole land. So yeah, kind of tired with that.
There's an old saying, Roger, how can I miss you if you don't go away?
I never heard that.
Well, you heard it now. You know, old guy got all kinds of sayings. The old guy here.
You're not that old. What are you, 45? Something around there, 44?
I'm 60 something, my brother.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm old. But, the thing that I'm trying to say is that that you know, taking a nice little break and then coming back because you've done everything that you possibly can, and then do we start looking forward to a book two? That once you get yourself a grade.
Well, when I wrote the story, that it was a trilogy. So mm-hmm. there's going to be a trilogy. So there's like book one, Genesis of Evil. Right. And I have these storyboards that I made a long time ago. They're like that tells the story of Dungeon Crusade. And I'm still wanting to find, well, one of the artists, probably Freddie. I want to redo the storyboards because they were just put together by me. Mm-hmm. But I want to redo it and let people read these so they can see what happened in book one of Genesis of Evil. There's characters that people don't even know about. But here's the thing that I've tried to tell people. So there's three books, book one, book two, book three. But like the phase we're going to move into now are chapter games. Let me pull this out as I'm talking. So you saw how big the land of Avalon is. There's like,
It's massive.
Yeah. And plus I could show up. This is something I wanted to do before for everyone. You know, when you'd get those old PC RPG games.
Yeah.
Like Origin, like Ultima. So that's the thing we wanted to do is now you get a whole map of Avalon, and it's kind of that vintage satin feel. It's just the map, but I was happy to give this to people. So, but you could see there's tons of different locations in the land of Avalon. Chapter games now, and what I've learned, like, and I'm not going to say, I told you, Aaron, you're not supposed to say anything.
I haven't said anything.
Chapter games are going to take place at one location in this huge land. Smaller games. And something I've done for years is I've listened.
I didn't say anything, did I?
Huh? No, you didn't. Oh. No, I said, I told you where they're at.
Oh, I know. And I'm not, no. And I don't even, I blocked that out of my mind.
But I've listened to gamers over the years. They want a game they could set up quick, 10 to 15 minutes, under 2 hour play time. So when I'm addressing, I have this formula for these few chapter games I'm working on. It's nice to just focus on one location in Avalon, write some lore about that. And I told the fairy chapter one is going to be very creative. It's going to offer new game mechanics, a new world that you've never like a new, and I'll tell you, it's a dungeon crawl game, but the way that your heroes will venture into the dungeon has never been seen before, and it's out in left field. But what people are going to like is it's under 2 hours, hour to an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes of gameplay, unlimited replayability. Some characters that you'll be interacting with. It's just there's a lot of stuff that are in this that you've never seen before. I always think outside the box for people. You know, as to me as a creator. That's what my job is. I could have made just a simple, mundane, typical dungeon crawl game. Put some tiles down, monsters, roll some dice. It was never about that. Everything, you know, I play guitar and I do music. When I did Dungeon Crusade, it was about doing something different for people. And yeah, it's epic. It's grandiose. It's just, you know, it's really what inspired me to create this game, to give people this huge adventure to have. But now we're going to dial it back. With the chapter games, real quick, you know, nothing to break the bank, unlimited replayability, a fun combat system, but wait till you see the game world and how you reveal it. It's something really slick, and I'm that's the thing. I'm tired. I want to break, but I want to make stuff for people. I love to hear people say, "Hey, I'm loving this," and you know, they get invested in it, and that's what I'm about. So if I'm tired, I just keep going because you know I want to create more for people. And I'm just grateful to everyone. Hopefully, sorry for my long answer.
No, it's fine. Now, speaking of this, now this is a tremendous achievement. Is this Slayer edition?
I have the box right here. Yeah. So what I wanted to show you was, and you know what?
I mean, you know, people. Oh, I'm sorry.
You heard it here first. There's actually now, if we do another reprint, there's actually going to be. Another edition of Dungeon Crusade. And I was talking to Paul. He's on your channel. He's such a nice guy.
Okay.
So this is, first of all, do me a favor. I'm going to put some links for people, like the introduction to the Avalon Adventure Board Game and Dungeon Crusade. There is a pledge manager. We're just about to go to mass production this week. We're working on going over the final details of the production. Mass production is going to be happening. Game is going to be shipping out like definitely June. So the pledge manager is open. I'll have a link if people just want not to pledge, but take a look if you want to see everything, definitely the Crusader upgrade pack for people who want that. But this is like, and it's beefy. This is the new Crusader of the Realm edition. And you can see it says Crusader of the Realm on it. So this is the base game and the base game of Dungeon Crusade and the Avalon Adventure board game in this package. And you know how much is in this. Plus, of course, the new solo Crusader mode, the revised combat system, everything that we worked on in the game and tweaked is, of course, in the new editions of the game. And like I said, the Crusader upgrade pack gets you up to this, you know, make sure that you are, you know,
where you got to be.
And then this is the one, this is the only one in existence right now. I think maybe Wingo has one. This is the Slayer of the Realm. Don't you love the colorful names I come up with for these editions?
Yeah.
So I hope you, there's like the Slayer of the Realm Elite.
Yeah.
The iconic skull there.
Yeah.
This is, and look how thick that box is.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Oh, it's heavy. It's like 17 or 18 pounds. This is everything. All of the huge add-ons. You get Dungeon Crusade, Avalon Adventure board game, the Expert and Heroic Monster Difficulty packs of monster cards, normal difficulty ships with the game, Hero Expansion Pack, the Double Dungeon Expansion Pack with Castle Blackwood and the Cavern of Lost Souls. You get the three extra House of Chance games. You get the Skull Patrol Route die, and there's other something else. It's everything in one gigantic box. But what I was going to say was, if we, God willing, you know, if we do another print, there's actually, remember the Master of the Realm edition?
Yeah.
Well, you notice that the Crusader of the Realm has that blue glow. This has a red glow. Mm-hmm. I would like to do a Master of the Realm edition where it would glow purple. And what that would be is kind of like the Crusader of the Realm with the Avalon Adventure board game. But the new Master of the Realm would have the Hero expansion and the Double Dungeon expansion. Because really, that's what a lot of people get. They get, they want the Avalon Adventure board game. They, of course, want Dungeon Crusade. They want the Hero expansion and the Double Dungeon expansion. So we'll have the Crusader, Master, and then the all-in Slayer of the Realm. So that's what I would, I think that would be a good idea for people who just want that particular package. And that seems to be the two big popular add-ons for the game.
You know, when you first start this, you know, the very first Kickstarter, you know, just praying that you were going to fund. I mean, and it did. Was it more than, I mean, you faced some challenges. Not only did you go through everything that you did with your mom, but you also had to get through COVID.
Oh, you know?
I mean, that had to be incredibly frustrating.
Well, yeah, with the shipping, because when did that it shipped out in 2020? Yeah, but then COVID hit kind of like March 2020.
Yeah.
But and I don't mean this bad. Please don't take this the wrong way.
No, but not at all.
The thing about it was, I know COVID was horrible, absolutely. But I want to say this right. I'd never want to offend anyone. But what happened was, because, you know, at my job at that time, you know, I was working with, you know, disabled, you know, children and adults with developmental disabilities, they had to call everything off. So I didn't have to go to work. That allowed me all of the time to really work on Dungeon Crusade. I mean, that's all I did was chatting with people, making videos. It was a horrible time. Absolutely. That's something we'll never forget about, you know, that we lived through, you know, and our kids lived through is seeing that. But that's the one thing about COVID, that it let me truly focus on Dungeon Crusade and starting work on chapter one of this new game. So my mind was completely, you know, I was working on some guitar music. So I mean, guitar and games are my big passion. But during COVID, though, that was where I knuckled down, started listening to people. Okay, we're going to get this revised rule book, solo Crusader mode, revised combat system. Hopefully I answered that, but that's where it was, you know, that's what I did during COVID.
But did it mess up getting the game to people? I mean,
no, not at all.
Not at all.
No. This was actually before that. Yeah, because the game shipped out, right? It was in 2020 at like January. It was January, February.
You're right.
Yeah. So luckily,
you're right, because because I took a lot of time, because just before COVID hit, I had done all those videos for it. I don't know why I thought it was during COVID that you had a bit of a hiccup.
No, everything, you know, just so happened, you know.
My timeline's so screwed up right now. It's
ridiculous. I couldn't hardly remember either. You know, but that's something I want to, and this is good news for you, because I owe you a Slayer of the Realm edition. I am very happy. What? You're going to say something?
Awesome.
Oh, no, definitely. I want you to have one. But this is some great news that I have. A lot of people know, but some people don't. A fan of the game named Jeff reached out to me last year. He bought a copy of, you know, the game. He loves the game. And come to find out, he's like a salesperson executive at a fulfillment service. Oh, and okay. he lives in Ohio, not that far from me. Okay. So we've been talking, and he knows about, I don't want even want to mention that I'm a nice guy, about the other fulfillment service that we will never, ever, ever use again after what they did to fans of the game or my extended family and what I went through with them. We will never be back with them. So my point is, Jeff is our
That's what it was. It was this fulfillment. And I was thinking it was COVID. Ugh, how can I
forget?
This fulfillment company.
Rob right there.
And you took a lot of heat for that. You took a lot of heat for that.
Oh, yeah. And it, honestly, as I tell you now, I was doing everything in my power. I was doing things that I was not even asked to do, but I did it because I want to make sure that people were getting taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mention their name. You know what? I could say so much right now, but you know what? I'm going to be respectful, but I'll tell you what, we'll never return to them. There were, you know, people were asking me, hey, I never got tracking numbers. I was getting hold of this shipping manager, this young lady. Hey, Rob Oren didn't get his tracking information. What's going on? I was up, and then plus, listen to this. This again, this could be part of the Netflix thing.
Yeah.
It's like Leah would hear me down here. I was up for, I mean, that's why I lost a lot of sleep. 2, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. They were over in China. Right. I had to use my phone and use a phone call through the service called WeChat. I was using, like, making a phone call through WeChat, walking around in our, this is my studio room, but we have a finished basement. Hello, can you hear me now? Hello. Yes, hello. Wait, let me walk over here. This is like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And Leah can hear me. She's like, God, I heard you down there just talking to them. Can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah. So what's, you know, it was a nightmare. I would never go through that ever again. And that was, you know, they just did a lot of stuff that I made sure people were taken care of. I'll just say that, you know, they tried, there was just a lot, Rob, and I don't want to talk anymore about them. I took care of people. I paid out of my own pocket to make sure people got their games. And even still, there was a few people, luckily we're very fortunate, there was a few people who had damaged boxes. I'm making sure they're still taken care of, you know, because I mean, they believed in this, and that means the world to me. I'll always be eternally grateful to everyone for this opportunity. But now moving away from that, because I do not like to talk about that situation with them.
Right.
A great fulfillment service, a fan of the game. It's so nice to be, and we've had video calls, lives in the same state as me. One of the nicest guys ever. And Jeff said, don't worry, we'll, and he said, when they pack the games, listen to this, they're going to have, you know, nice sturdy boxes, and they have industrial strength, 1-inch thick airbags that go all around the games corners. So the games will be protected. So they're going to be handling Canada and the US, and one of their partners overseas will take care of EU, UK, and all of that. So I'm just happy to say, you know, we're about to hit mass production. As soon as that's done, Jeff's going to come in, take over. We get the games over here, and the summer, that's, everyone will be getting their games. And it's just truly a pleasure and an honor to be partnered with them. And I'm looking forward to it now. And he said, Roger, he laughed. He said, you're not going to be in this like you were before. You know, I'm not going to call you at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, we will take it from here. We'll make sure that these customers are taken care of. That was really good peace of mind. So I want to let people know that, and you know that. Oh, and here's the thing. Their warehouse is only about 25 minutes. They told me I could go in, I could film all the games there. I could bring mm-hmm. games back. So you'll see a special report from me inside the warehouse with all the games there. Yes, I'm going to do that. So it's really, I'm hoping you're happy to hear that too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be like, you know, having the, hey, everyone, that's Roger. I'm at the fulfillment service. Look, here's all the games here. And so I'll have that in the Kickstarter update. So really, fulfillment is on the right track. Excellent company. And Jeff,
if you had to give somebody advice, you know, after going through this whole experience, okay, if you had to give somebody advice, what would you say to them for somebody that is starting a Kickstarter and wanting to develop a game? What have you learned? What is the most valuable lesson that you've learned from this? That
you have another hour?
We always have time for you, Roger. Matter of fact, while you're talking, I'm going to let my dog in because she usually stays out here with me, but she wants to go in. But I would love
to just keep talking, right?
Yeah.
I'll pretend you're there. Okay, guys, we'll pretend Rob is there. Man, seriously, everyone, let me start with this. If you're a creative person, if you're an imaginative person, if you are very driven, you have a dream, and you want to share it with the world, don't let anyone stop you. That's one thing. I don't care who it is, Rob, or if whoever's listening or now, if you have something you want to share with the world, do it. Don't let anything stop you and just kick ass and get it done. Because mm-hmm. you know why? You're going to think later in life, you know, I had this game for Dungeons of Excalibur and man, I should have done it. Why didn't I do it? Do it. You only go around once. Take the chance and do it. That way you'll know. But mm-hmm. one thing is, on the business side is definitely, you know, start a small business. You know, you can go through just LegalZoom and, you know, start up, you know, Orin Games, you know, get yourself a little LLC and, you know, start with
pretty
that.
Catchy.
Huh?
It's Orin pretty catchy.
Game. You like that Orin Game?
Yeah, there we go.
We create worlds.
Well, there you go. I'm all set. Let's go.
Definitely get a YouTube channel started. Start something on Facebook, Instagram, all of that. Have that down. Work on your prototype game. Definitely, that's one thing. You know, I mean, I worked the hell out of it, but there was just some aspects that needed adjusted. And I was a first-time creator. Make sure that you get people in, play the game, and, you know, or whatever project you're doing, you know, is just test out your game and do videos, show people. And the biggest thing that I do, and I think, you know, be completely transparent, be candid, just be open, just say what's going on, you know, and that's what I did. You know, I was just open. I let people know my life, what I do. I'm not like some atomic playboy going to Las Vegas with a couple babes under each arm. I'm here, a family guy, and, you know, doing games and playing music with my dogs. And, you know, really, truly, the fans of game are like extended family. And then, you know, when you hit Kickstarter, I'm going to tell you, here's the big thing. Prepare. If you're really passionate and you really want to do this, Rob, that is one of the most fulfillment, the last fulfillment, that was the most stressful point in my life, besides my mom. But when you hit Kickstarter, be prepared for, especially if you have like, you know, something, a pretty good game and it's pretty hot and it's pretty innovative and it's going to draw attention, be prepared to be up very late hours of the night. Be prepared for questions, everything. People are going to ask you everything under the sun about it. I had this guy that was part of a church and he wanted me to change the name from Dungeon Crusade to Dungeon Raiders. He thought it was sacrilegious. I was using the word crusade because of the crusades and all that. And I was very respectful. Yeah, I swear. Here's the thing. Be nice and respectful to everyone.
Right, right.
Can't blow off the handle. And mm-hmm. I explained to this gentleman, Rob, this is back in 2016.
Don't be like me. Be like Roger, folks.
But I explained to him. It's like, hey, it was nice to hear from him. I love to hear what people have to say. Now, if it's like stuff, go die with your game. And I've had that. It's like, oh. I still say, listen, I hope you have a good life. I wish you the best.
Mm-hmm.
And go on. But the thing about it is, when he said that, I tried to explain, Well, crusade can mean many things. You could be on a crusade against child abuse. You could be on a crusade to fight against cancer. So the heroes are on a crusade to rid the evil of the land of Avalon. No, I want you to change it to Dungeon Raiders. He wanted me to change it to Dungeon Raiders. I see someone's talking to you.
It was just my wife. I was just letting her know.
Please tell her I said hello.
I will. She just went in.
Okay. So when you hit Kickstarter, that's one thing. Be prepared for anything and everything, because it you're probably going to get asked it, you know, and connect with Facebook. Make sure it's part of your Kickstarter so people can see, you know, what you're like on Facebook and what you're spreading. And of course, start a game group on Facebook for, you know, Orin Games or Dungeons of Excalibur. I swear to God, if someone takes Dungeons of Excalibur for a game, you better give me like 10 cents royalty if you sell a copy of that game.
I know. It might be under Orin Games. You better watch out.
Someone's going to come out with that game now, Dungeons of Excalibur. But that's, you know, just be yourself, speak from the heart. And, you know, that's really, I mean, there's other stuff I could say, but that's, you know, really it. And but I would do this too. And this to me with Kickstarter, and Rob, I want to be honest with you. I'm grateful to be here. And this is something that I wanted to ask you. I think it in the year 2023, I think it is absolutely amazing that the bubble is still growing. Like with all of these board games, and you know, there's, you know, Games Found, and there's all this, these board games, and it's great, but man, there's so much out there. So what I would say is, and just, this is just, I said, this is what I do. If you're going to come up with a game design, really do something that's left of center. But of course, you're passionate. Don't just do something for the heck of it, but do something you're passionate about, but that sets you apart. So you're not part of the mundane or the typical, oh, look, you know, it's another fantasy dungeon crawler. Do something, put your stamp on it. You know, that's what I would say.
You see, people always play dungeon crawlers, okay? Because they just constantly just get sucked into the adventure. But one of the biggest problems with this big bubble is that there are too many games. And a lot of good games get left behind. If you are not the hottest thing out there, you know, and you could say this about the YouTube reviewers, you know, they all go for that big hot game from that company. And some games get left behind because they're just not that hot out of the gate. How are people going to discover them unless you take and bring them to the forefront? And
And what you just said, I think you and Daniel from the Dungeon Dive, you are the shining stars of that. You show those hidden gems that people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, you know, and I'm not knocking any YouTuber, but I know exactly what you mean. They've got 50,000 subscribers.
There's nothing wrong. They're trying to survive. Exactly. It's a business for them, you know.
But I would like to see them show that little, like, have a hidden gem, you know, corner. You know, like every week where so-and-so takes this game. Hey, guys, let me show you this game that I found out about. It's from a passionate team, and I think it might pique your interest. That would be cool to do. If I ever did that, that's what I would do. I'd show some big games, but I think I'd be 50-50. I'd say, hey, look at this game from Orin Games, Dungeons of Excalibur. Let's take a look at this. This is something you may not have seen. And I think these guys need some love in that, you know, and I've done that with Kickstarters. There's people I've tried to promote on there to say, hey, this is a good game. Check this out.
Yeah. And hey, nobody would even talk to you back in the day.
I can tell you way back when I tried to talk to people. Nothing. And it was Sean Ellis, the amazing Sean Ellis, that he was one of the first ones that said, okay, I don't think you're that crazy. Let's do something. And then it just was on a roll from there. And I reached out to a few artists after it was funded. And all of them, seriously, Rob, like from the bottom of my heart, they were so nice to me. It was really a pleasure and honor to work with them.
Even the YouTube people, they didn't give this much of attention, except for your pal that's sitting right here.
You were the first, Rob.
Yeah, I said, no, there's something here. This is really special. Let's go with it. Let's see what we could do.
And I'll always be grateful to you and everyone. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's gotten bigger, but it's nowhere near like zombie side level. I'll be very candid and say it's not like dead zombie side level or you know that kind of stuff. And I'm fine with
it. It has its place. It has its place. You know, and not many games have their place. A lot of things get forgotten. Okay, this game is still going strong. It still has a lot of power and it moves a lot of people. And it has that special passionate quality. And that's that, my friend, is where you win.
I will tell you, the turning point for the game was with, you know, when I was working on stuff, but the revised rule book.
Yeah.
That was really the big thing. And then, you know, the solo crusader mode. Plus, I'm working on two new free modes that you're going to download. There's a very unique random dungeon generator, and mm-hmm. this is going to offer 2 hour games or less. And then the quest challenges mode, unique quests with certain heroes at certain levels. And so there's two new game modes coming. And my idea was this with Dungeon Crusade, that's finally coming to fruition, to have these different modes so people could have a smorgasbord of what they want to play. Do you want to play classic Dungeon Crusade? Do you want to play the new solo crusader? Maybe you want to play the random dungeon generator. You know, and you know how much customization there is. That is, I kind of want it to be the Swiss Army knife of how do you want to play? What do you want to tweak in the game? It's probably mm-hmm. one of the most highly customizable games, dungeon crawlers out there that, you know, you could do anything with. So that's I was going to say something before about that, about that what you said about YouTubers, about if you're new at Kickstarter. Absolutely. YouTubers are probably not, I mean, TikTok, but YouTubers are your number one way to market your product. Absolutely anything, whether it's, you know, the most delicious corn pops in the world or a dungeon crawl game or whatever have you, you know, mm-hmm. YouTubers really are. They are going to get you your product in front of a lot of people. Advertising is the number one business in the world, and YouTubers are, that's how they're golden.
Crucial. A lot of them are crucial to it. Some of them are soulless because what they'll do is it's just a paycheck to them. But if you can find those couple of guys that really believe in what you're doing, then you got something.
And you know, Rob, that's what I wanted to say too, that I never wanted it, like, you know, I mean, it would be nice to see Dungeon Crusade blow up. But mm-hmm. if it did, and I've said this, you could go back and see, I said this from the start. If it did, say, get as big as Zombicide, our next project coming up is exclusive retro-inspired plastic miniatures. But if it ever did, my thing is to give it back to the backers. So say Dungeon Crusade hit one of those $1 million things. Okay, mm-hmm. guess what, guys? You're getting a ton of plastic miniatures. I would give back to backers because I'm grateful for that. You know, that to me, that's what you do. You give it back to the backers to do stuff. But in a way, I kind of like where Dungeon Crusade, it's kind of like this avant-garde, like kind of in this little hidden sector of if we use say a gem of a game. So it's not like this big, huge commercialized game. It's kind of like, you know, some of those bands, some of those rock bands you find out about, you know, that doesn't have the biggest following, but wow, they're such a great band, or, you know, like a certain movie, you know, series or something like that. I kind of like having, not flying under the radar, but just kind of like right in the middle. And mm-hmm. that, but absolutely, I just want to say, if it ever did blow up, to me, it's about giving fans more, giving them new types of games, put it back into the company, get some other, where I could bring in other people, and let's do some really creative, imaginative games for people. That's what if it ever blew up, that's where my heart is. And I've said that from the outset.
Well, there you have it. So let me just update everybody before we close this out. Okay. Next Monday, hopefully. Okay. We had promised you a while back before I got ill here, Dungeon Crusade, we were going to start with the Avalon adventure, and then we were going to start breaking things down and doing things and really tearing this thing to a core and doing some live plays. Hopefully next week, you and I are going to be doing the Avalon adventure finally.
I really like to do that, but I'm just, you know, I know that you're going through that stuff.
No, I promised you and I swore that we'd get it done. And this, I wanted to do this interview. I wanted to let everybody know. I apologize. I feel horrible about it, But I promise you
it's
that
it's not a big deal, Rob. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, but we promised that we were going to bring it on this channel and do something really different and really have some fun with it. And I have some things in mind. You have some things in mind, and I hope you'll join us because we're really looking forward to doing it.
And you're going to see a playthrough like how I've always. I mean, there's some great YouTubers seriously who took the game under their wing, and we did an Avalon Adventure playthrough. But the one I'm going to do with you is going to be how I'm really going to show you how to set up the game and how I recommend to play it. You know, straight from me and all that. And I think. As I said, done an Avalon Adventure board game, kind of like an 80s Dungeon Quest fighting fantasy games from Steve Jackson and Ian Livingston. That's kind of like what it is. Choose your own adventure game, but you'll never see the same game twice.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to doing that with you.
I can't wait. I will have that scheduled. You and I will be talking very soon in the next day or two. I'll let you know how we're doing with it. So we have all that. Roger, I want to thank you for coming on. Okay.
Thank you. Can I leave everyone with this?
Sure. Check.
Please make sure that this comment is in there. I want people to see this is the new revised rulebook. I'm going to have a link for the PDF. Please take a look at this, guys. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised. Ilpo from Finland, he's this absolutely amazing professor. He was the editor on this. You saw it. I want you guys to see this. I'm not hiding it or anything. I want you to see how nicely this came out. And just to get you up to speed, actually, there's one more video. I'm going to have a link to the unboxing series where I went over everything. And I just want to give people so they know they're in the loop of what's going on. So thank you for this time to tell them.
Oh, of course.
I have a link to the unboxing. We're working with the manufacturer this week on the final, tweaks for the mass production. Mass production will be happening in the next few weeks. Pledge Manager closes. I'll have a special Kickstarter update just for that, and then we wait for them to get printed, and the game ships out like in June. So in the summer you'll have Dungeon Crusade. So I just want to make sure everyone's in the loop, they know where we're at, and you don't have to wait that long.
Bye. No, and we'll be talking more about it next week. I think you said it all, and of course you could say even more, and even I could too. Yes, but again, Roger, thank you so much for being on.
And thank you for everything you do.
You're welcome. Everybody, the great Roger Dehring,
folks. I'm not that great.
Make sure that you get this, get the Pledge Manager. We'll have all the links in the bottom of this video so you can make sure that you can get all the information that you need. And as always, for Roger and myself, until next time, it is your old pal Rob. We'll see you soon, everybody.
Stay safe. Happy gaming, all. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another great interview. It was such a pleasure having Roger on. And coming up, we're going to be doing that playthrough, which I'm very excited to do with Roger. Roger, again, like I said a million times, very dear friend and someone that means a lot to me. So look for that. Hopefully this coming week. Next week, he and I will get together and kind of start what we really want to do is really set the stage for how to play this fantastic game. And if you want to, there in the video on the YouTube channel, there are some links that you can get to the Late Pledge Manager, as well as basically just check out some videos that he's done. But we've got a lot of things planned for Dungeon Crusade, and I hope you'll join us. Until next week, when we have another fantastic interview, of course, some news and stuff like that as we do things here on the podcast. It's your old pal, Rob. We'll see you soon, everybody.